Father, once again, we want to thank you for your mercy and your goodness and your love. Your infallible word, unchanging, which brings within it healing and deliverance, revelation, Holy Spirit. Open up our hearts that we may receive your word as yours. In Jesus' name we pray. We studied about the grace of God, many misunderstood by many, still remains a kind of misunderstood thing which comes from God. Many think that grace is unmerited favor, which is not. Grace is the empowering presence of God, which enables me to be what God has created me to be and to do what God has called me to do. It is the empowering presence. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit ready to give a hand and help. This is the way. This is what I called you for. This, the life that I have chosen for you. Some are called to be single. Some are called to be married. It is the grace of God upholds both. And we need to know what God wants us to do. You see, we receive grace and continue to receive grace in order to walk with God. We receive the mercy of God at salvation and continue to receive mercy each time we slip off and sin. And when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7. And mercy forgives and takes away judgment. Grace helps us to walk with God. Grace helps us to continue with Him, to be who we are, and to do what we have been called to do. Oh, how we can miss the wonderful grace of God. So today's message is stepping out. Stepping out of the grace of God. How can we step out from the help, from the power, from what He has called us to be, created us to be, and what He has called us to do? How can any believer, any child of God, step out of the grace of God? Earlier when we were studying, we saw in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Fall from is the margin says. We can step out of the grace of God. which means no longer the power of God and the help of God and the favor of God is available for you and me. So he says, be very careful, let any man fail or fall from the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many defiled. Bitterness is hidden anger. Unforgiveness goes with it. I always used to say, if you want to just have an example of water as anger, solid ice is bitterness. It's loaded up inside. Actually, that one brings real all kinds of sicknesses. As the doctors are lately, they're finding out. So when we load bitterness and forgiveness, we step out of the grace of God. Which means the Holy Spirit will no longer help us, will no longer give us power to live the kind of life that we should live. Then if we try to do our own thing just by keeping the law and not depend on the Holy Spirit, Paul said in Galatians, you're fallen from grace. We gave that thing last time, right? Whenever any one of you want to achieve righteousness through law, by keeping the law, you have fallen from grace. I think it's chapter 5, isn't it? Verse 4. All right. Having said that, now it's our responsibility to keep ourselves in the love of God, in the grace of God. Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God. That means we are to be grounded in the love of God. Keep. God keeps us from evil. The Lord shall protect you and keep you. The Lord shall lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. There was a blessing pronounced to the Israelites, and the priests will, you know, say it after their meeting. There is a keeping that the Lord does, but there is a keeping that we have to do. So Jude chapter, I think the verse 20 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. So which means also keep yourselves in the grace of God. We must keep ourselves in the grace of God. We must stay in our circle. See, God has a boundary set for you and me. He has already drawn out a plan for you and me. Where we should live, which city we should live, country, city, very important. You all should remember when he wanted to get back to Jerusalem, David asked the Lord, where shall I go? God never said to any other places than Hebron. If he had not asked, he would not have gone there. Because that is where the plan of God is, that is where the grace of God will work. We consider these things very little. And then we get into trouble and then cry out for God for mercy. Why? We're out of grace. So he has set up a boundary. What job we should do, what kind of ministry, what church we should attend, what kind of, whether we should marry or not marry, everything has been planned well. Determined, God knows the best for you and me. He saw our unformed substance in the womb of our mother. Even before that, even from the foundations of the world. And this knowledge is too much, David said. All the days of my life had been written in your book. So that means planned already. So there is a boundary that God wants us to stay within. Draw a circle in your copy. Draw a circle of a glass, you know, that kind of a circle with the circumference of a, you know, about 2 inches. Draw a circle. That's it. Keep it until I tell you what to do. When we get out of the boundary, now, okay, you draw a stick man inside the boundary, inside the circle. A stick man, you know a stick man? Small head with hands and the leg. So that's you, okay? When we try to become one we are not supposed to be, we get out of the boundary, out of the grace. Some parents force children to be that and to be this when they have an inborn talent given to be a mechanic or an electrician. The parents say, the next door son has got into the university to do medicine. So and so is an engineer. So they want them to do that. They make them what they want them to be. Never work. Their lives will never be fulfilled. I just give you an example. So when we try to become someone when we are not supposed to be, we're trying to do something when we are not supposed to do. You have, for example, my brother had a strong talent God gave him from the very beginning, even before he was 10 years old. Photography, he likes to take photographs. And then he continued in that, he became a cinematographer. Shot up in high first places in India. He was the only one who could put there a film by so and so, because he did everything. Direction, everything he did. Why? He was so shining. That was what he made for. But the failure was, did not ask the Lord how he could use that in the kingdom. He did not use. Everything God gives must be used in the kingdom of God for his glory. God ordained to be that way. So we cannot be somebody else doing something else when we are not called to do that. When you are called to be an evangelist, be an evangelist. Don't try to be a prophet or a pastor. God can expand your boundary later on, but you got to flow in hand with the grace of God. When we try to be a person somebody else wants us to be, no, it will never work. When we do that, we live in a fantasy world. We're living in imaginations. We just don't know what to do. We want to be someone who others want us to be. It's not going to work. Now, God wanted Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. He said, I have ordained to be a prophet. Not a priest. His daddy was a priest. Okay? But he was called to be a prophet. Now, the prophetic ministry is very hard. You go with the finger right there and you warn people. You speak about the judgment to come and what God is saying now. And most of the time, the prophets were persecuted and killed. Very hard ministry. Jeremiah, even though he tried to give excuses that he was a lad, young boy, but God never took away the calling. When God sets a goal and a calling for you, he will never take it away. I believe with all my heart, every one of you listening to this message, and everyone, those who are going to listen later, You are saved. You have a specific call, a ministry, a boundary, a plan, a mission statement over your life. Don't think very little small of yourself. It is God who did that, not anybody else. It is God who says you are going to be this. People may not recognize you. You may not have any certificates, credentials. But God says, do this. I have called you for this. But my Lord, my past life is a mess. I'm not out of it yet. What do you want me to do? I will be with you. When God says, I will be with you, He's saying, my grace surrounds you. My empowering presence, whatever you need, what power you need, whether physical or spiritual, I am there to supply you. You just join hands with me. We will both work together. And we will finish this task which I planned and wrote for you. What are you thinking? What is your focus on today? Oh, brother, you don't understand. Nobody just wants to know about my ministry. I'm so rejected and then I cannot go on further. God's still waiting. Still waiting to release the grace which He has for you. Bezalel was another young man, the grandson of Hur. God had a plan. He called him to do a work. And he had to be made first to be. So He filled him with the Holy Spirit. And Moses was informed, if you could call Pastor Moses, use that man. Unfortunately, there are so many people today seated in churches with God's calling and talents and anointings not recognized by the leaders. So they struggle, go from one church to the other. Or even get into the hands of the devil. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Watch that word measure. Let's see what the King James, New King James has. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13. For we, however, will not boast beyond a measure, but within the limits of the sphere, that's what you drew a sphere, a circle, right? That's your boundary. That's your sphere. I told you to draw a circle and put a stick man. That is your sphere, your God-ordained boundary for your ministry. To be inside. It could be a city or many cities. It could be a province. God ordained place. It could be just a specific ministry of deliverance. A sphere God has prepared. Okay? With God appointed us, Can you see that? A sphere which especially includes you. And Paul is saying, this sphere includes you. God put me here. You Corinthians, don't you say all kinds of things about me. When I am with you, I am scared. And then when I go away and write letters, oh, he just writes strong letters. When he comes here, he's trembling. Don't you say that. God had this fear, and you are coming inside that fear. With persecution, with all kinds of oppositions, I stayed with you. God has a sphere, a circle for you, a boundary for you and me. Within that boundary is the grace of God that's working in and through him, of who Paul is and what he was called to do. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who measured that boundary. Okay? Who is the person who can see when you watch servants of God? They prosper in their ministry. Who is the one whom God commends? Who is the one who can, God can say, he's the one, listen to him. You remember, the voice came from heaven with regard to Jesus, and God the Father spoke from there that this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And as he was in the mountaintop, and with Peter, John, and James, the voice came again and said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Why? Grace is given to him. He was filled with grace. If God's grace is working in a person, that's the person God commends. So how can we say a person is accepted, approved by God? That person's life, grace will be flowing out. The power of God, the presence of God, the revelation of God will flow out. That person, you can just say, hey, is operating under grace. That's the way you can judge. God commends. He does it with grace. If he gives grace to somebody, not mercy I'm talking of, grace to someone, that's the person God is saying, I approve that person. The power of the Holy Spirit is working in that ministry, in that life. When grace is not there, is only shouting, then God is not working with that person. We must discern whether grace is in operation, where the empowering presence of God is in operation, whether Jesus has been exalted through that ministry. So, draw a straight line under that man in that circle. Draw a straight line as if he's standing on that line. Just draw a line. Now, imagine that line in that circle is the length, is the boundary that you are to operate. You are to be within the circle. That is where God has ordained you. That is where the grace of God is going to flow. So within that circle, the mission, the God's plan for you, what you're called to do, will work just like a bird flies, a fish swims. No struggle, no heartaches, no pain. You don't get burned out. Okay? Now, to discover your mission statement and the plan of God is your responsibility. Now, you can be seated in a church and attend conferences, and then you can learn a lot of things about the Bible, and then time to come, get married or do whatever, and finish up your life and go to heaven. No problem. But eternity, you are lost almost everything. There's not going to be any reward. And people think that Jesus is going to bring certificates and then give garlands. No. Jesus very clearly said in one parable, you're going to be a ruler of 5 cities. The other one, another 10 cities you rule. You're going to rule. So, it's our responsibility. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Enter ye by the straight gate, for the wide is the gate and the broad is the way, verse 13, that leadeth to destruction, and many be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. You got to find this life. When you got salvation, you did not go searching and then find this life. It was just given free for you, right? I mean, you just got free. I mean, mercy and came in. But what is he talking about? Finding. Got to find. You have to discover this life. You know what that is? It is the plan of God Almighty. And that plan, the path of that plan is narrow. It's not a wide road. It's a narrow road. There's a lot of sacrifices that had to be made. A lot of things had to be given up. It is a continuous commitment. You remember? Abraham had to give up the country, his relations, his friends. Later he had to give up Hagar and Ishmael. And later he had to give up Isaac in order to come to the fulfillment of his plan. So God has to bring him from, you know, to his boundary. There is a boundary for your life. You're not there. You step out. You step out of grace. Stepping out of grace is just shaking hands off with the Holy Spirit. And he remains. He never runs away with you, for he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But his power and help and his guidance, will nothing will be available for us. We are on our own. Remember that. So you got to discover the plan of God. You got to ask, why am I this way, Lord? Why have you made me this way? What do you want me to do? Paul was very clever to ask straight away, the moment his hearts were changed, the road to Damascus, what do you want me to do? And the plan was just with a little light glimpse was given. First obedience, go to that place, it shall be told for you. Jesus never said. He told him through another person, Ananias. See? And little by little, the plan was opening up like a flower. So we need to discover God's plan and then stay within the boundary. You cannot afford to get out of the sphere, that circle. You cannot. There is going to be a price. Okay? So you say, well, what do you want me to do now? Okay, let me ask some questions. What is your focus? In other words, your imaginations and your thoughts. If Jesus comes, let's say, another week's time, what would you present to him? Lord, I did this for you. Do you have any souls with you? Are you going to take some souls and say, Lord, with your help, I brought them to you. What do you like to do? What is your desire? What is the most, or, you know, I was speaking to one child. one young lady, and she was telling me, "Oh, I just have this strong desire to serve among the sick people. I had this from when I was a teenager." I believe at that time that she was a Hindu. See, even there, the plan is still there, buried inside. But now at salvation, you open up your eyes for mercy and forgiveness, removal of judgment. Now, the power of God is available to do that job. Now, the desire is given. God is both to work to give us the desire and to do. What is your desire? Do what you want to do for the kingdom. Some of you may just want to serve among the little kids. Some of you just want to serve among, listen carefully. Oh, brother, I don't know, my heart is leaping out for fatherless children. I just want to speak the word to them. I just want to embrace them. I want to ask them whether you had meals, whether you had that, whether you have this. Oh, some others you will want to say, oh, I want to work among the broken families. Oh, single mothers, or whatever it may be, what is your desire? That's a glimpse. That's a clue. That's a starting point. Start doing that. And God, if that is wrong, God will correct you. What would you like to do? So don't just wait in a church. He will guide you if you are wrong. He will direct you. Nothing is worse than a believer just seated in a church and then gets back to his work and then comes back and then goes on to routine week after week and year after year. Okay? Nothing is so miserable about a person. So frustrated, but they don't show it out. We must be so closely united with the Holy Spirit to know what your plan is, your mission statement. I want to say this again. There is a mission statement on your life. You can, with the help of the Lord Holy Spirit, spend time deeper, join with such people and receive that statement, or just be dragged about whatever that's available in this world, cosmos. Join with whomever you like. Go for parties. Do what you like to do. Yes, and after they go to church, just read the Bible here and there. Just pray for 5-10 minutes. You will never find out the mission statement. You have to ask. You have to find out. So you have to be in that circle. That's the boundary. That's the boundary. I want to read that scripture again, chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, verse 13. But we will not boast of the things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you, a sphere, a boundary to reach unto you. Okay? So this one, verse 11, is a measure of your ministry. Write it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11 is the measure of your ministry. Don't go beyond your ministry. Saul wanted to be a priest also, doing the work of Samuel. He was disqualified. He stepped out of the sphere, the circle. He stepped out of the grace of God. The Holy Spirit is not going to help anybody if they try to do their own thing. Now, the second one is the measure of grace. Ephesians chapter verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7. Chapter 4 verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace. How many of us received grace? Everyone. Given grace. Look at me, please. You have been given a measure of the empowering presence of God. A measure of power and presence given for you and me. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, what is the gift of Christ? Do you want to know? It is the sphere of your ministry. The gift is the ministry. The gift, Jesus, do you remember when he went up, he gave gifts? Some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as... The gift of Christ is the ministry which God has called you to do. It is the ministry. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay? At least one ministry you have, Peter says, 1 Peter 4:10. And God can expand that. You can have 2, 3, 4 ministries. It's like you can be a pastor and then, you know, teaching and building up the believers and sending them off to the ministry outside for evangelism and so on. And at the same time, you can have a ministry among the poor people, feeding them. That's another gift. But you got to know where that is your sphere. Because you step out of doing some good thing, you burn out. Grace of God will not be found there. Now, so the grace is given according to the measure of Christ. That circle is the gift of God. That's the measure, the boundary of your ministry. So where is the grace is going to be found? Within that circle. Now watch me. The amount of grace you receive will be proportionate to the amount, the sphere, and the boundary God has for you. Not more, not less. God will give you the grace according to the boundary of your ministry. He will not give you more than that. If he wants to give you more, that means he wants to extend the boundary. Now you understand? See, the power is given according to the ministry you're called to do. I don't need an airplane from here to go to my house. A small plane even. No. That's what I'm meaning. Probably I need a push bike. Or even a car would do. Or a motorbike. So the grace is proportionate to the boundary. The gift of Christ is your ministry. Now, have you draw another circle with a stick man inside? Draw another circle quickly. After drawing the circle, above the circle, put an umbrella like that. Above the circle, put an umbrella. Outside the circle. And on top of it, write grace. Now you draw the stick man there, outside the circle. Outside the umbrella. Every time we try to do something which God has not called us to do, we step out of grace. As long as you are in that circle under the umbrella of grace, you enjoy the power and the guidance and the presence of God. When you step out of the grace, you are fallen from grace. You no longer will have the power of God. You remove yourself from the empowering presence of God. Why? For God is not going to give you power for you to disobey Him. Simple. You're not going to help anybody to disobey Him. You remember? God said, go and take over the land, Canaan. And they said, no, we can't go. There are giants there. He said, I'll be with you. I mean, but they said, no. They wept all night. What did happen? They rejected the grace of God. And now, following morning, they said, okay, we made a mistake. We're sorry. We want to go and fight. And the Lord said, no, don't go. I won't be with you. You know what He was saying? The grace will not be available for you. Favor will not be available. Don't go. Don't. They went, got beaten up. They came back, they wept again. God never heard them. So you can see how He can withhold His grace. They were fallen from grace. When the Israelites turned back into the wilderness, when they refused to go into the land of Canaan, they were fallen from grace. The favor of God. A bunch of rebels. See? He is not going to help you and me. God is not going to help you and me and give us power to succeed in doing what we want to do. Because He has already drawn out a plan for you and me. A specific ministry with a boundary. And you're not supposed to get out of the boundary. And you step out. You're on your own. Just like those people went to fight. Can you see this? Has God rejected you? No. Has God, His love diminished? No. Our rebellion is not going to do anything with His love. He said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to help you. Now you pay the price. You're on your own. But if you want power and presence and guidance, stay in the circle. Never go and put your hand on somebody else's ministry. Never want to be somebody else. I want to become like Ben Hinn and I want to be like John Hagee. Be who you are, what God has created you to be. And do what God has called you to do. Don't try to copy. Don't try to compare. No. Because your mission statement, your talent, your anointing, everything is different. She's doing that, let me do that also. No. We'll fail. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, can you see that? I say to you, through the grace, the empowering presence of God, it's called, you have created me to enable me to be who I am and to do what I am called to do. To every man that is among you, not a thing of himself, more highly than you ought to think, but a thing soberly according to as God has dealt with every man, the measure of faith. So we have the measure of ministry. We have the measure of grace. Now we have the measure of faith. Third one. Measure of ministry, 2 Corinthians 10:11. Measure of grace, Ephesians 4:7. Measure of faith, Romans 12:3. See, there is a measure. There is a... Look at me. When we say, can you please measure this? I just want to know how much, what length. So we bring a tape and then we measure, right? So he's saying, there is a measure for your ministry. Don't try to do on your own and expand it. There is a measure for the grace, which is proportionate to the ministry. The power is given. Nobody can ask, I want the same power that Benny Hinn is operating in. No, that measure of ministry, boundary, ordained by God for him, and the grace is given proportionate to that ministry. Now we're talking about the measure of faith. To each person. But I think soberly according to God, and dealt to every man the measure of faith. How much faith you have? You have as much faith as you have grace. You have as much faith as you have grace. You shouldn't think low of yourself. You shouldn't think more than high of yourself. Think soberly what God has called you to be. To be first and to do what he has called us to do. How much faith and how much grace you have. You have as much faith and much grace as the ministry of God has assigned you requires. How much faith you have, that is proportionate to how much grace you have. How much grace you have, so much to disconnected with the ministry sphere that you have. See? God gives proportionate to according to the sphere he has planned before. Oh, can you expand your sphere? Oh, yes. So you can say, Lord, I'm just serving in this eastern province and this little city. I just want you to expand this ministry. How about expanding, Lord? And the Lord will say, okay, you ready? Oh, yeah. Yes, Lord, why not? God can expand. Oh, yes, he does. When we prove faithful, he will expand. Okay? You have the guarantee of God, the assurance of God. As long as you agree with him. So you have as much faith and much grace as the ministry God has assigned you requires. According to the ministry given to you, that circle, grace is given to you. According to the ministry and the grace given to you, faith is given to you. The measure. Say that? I give you tea leaves and water to have to prepare tea for some people, and I give you milk and sugar according to the proportion that I have already given you for 10 people. Are you with me? But if you have 5,000 people, the sphere is very big. So to that proportion, grace is given. So you can't make it one person for 5,000. No. So you need more people. Thank you, Jesus. So more laborers you need to help them prepare the tea. I'm just giving you an example. And then more sugar and more milk is given according to the 5,000. You're not going to give for 10,000 people. Did you understand this? So stay within that sphere. Be faithful in what God gives you. As long as you remain in that sphere, in that circle, all the grace and all the faith is available for you to use. But you will not have grace and you will not have faith to which God has not called you to do. He's not going to give, and that's not going to operate. So when you're doing something, find out whether you have faith. Hey, what am I doing? Am I struggling here? Am I still taught of faith? For I know for one thing, what even these past 14 years I have stepped out of grace. And I have been given the privilege of to speak about this by the grace of God to deliver this message. I want to say, you will pay the price for getting out of this grace of God, getting out of the sphere of God, getting out of your ministry, getting into a place where God has not called you. Every day will be hell on earth. You can shrug it off and then get involved in other things and even do some good things and even do some kingdom whatever work. But you will never be satisfied. Nothing will work. Has God left that person? No. The Lord continued to guide them in the wilderness for 40 years. Where were they going? Nowhere. But He gave them the food and water. Through what? Mercy. I hope you're getting this. So when you are finding so difficult to do something which God has not called you to do, get a clue. You're finding so difficult and struggling. What is it said that's saying to you? You have no grace. You have stepped out. What do you have to do now? Oh God, forgive me. Get inside what? The circle. That's the only way. God is not going to come out of the circle. Oh, I can help you here also. No. Are you getting this? This message will have to be spoken to many ministers who are struggling to pay even an insurance money for their car in this country of Canada. They haven't got $100 to pay for the insurance for the car. Having a church, more than 50 people. What is that? No grace. Now you understand. See? A pastor had a dream that he saw himself inside a circle, and then he was right inside the circle. And there was a cage inside the circle, and there was a demon inside wanting to grab him. And the cage with full bars, iron bars, and he's trying to get out. He saw this in his dream. God showed him. And then the word of the Lord came to him. And he said, as long as you are in my sphere, doing what I have called you to do, that demon will be in that cage. The moment you step out, the demon will leave the cage. And he asked, why, Lord? To harass you, to torment you, to chase you. Where, Lord? Back to my sphere. See that? It'll be literal hell. But as long as you remain there, It'll be in that cage. Can you see? This so much goes parallel with God's operation of things, of life. Whenever God's people disobeyed, we read all the time, you read Book of Judges, then say, God said, okay, he sold them into the hands of the Philistine for 20 years. And they were so much in agony. And they ill-treated them, and then finally they cried out, please forgive us, Lord, please. And the mercy of God now worked. And then God raised up somebody to slap those demons, which are a type of the Philistines, right? Either it was Samson, either it was David, or let it be anyone. Gideon, okay, are you listening to me? And delivered them from the hand of these demons, these enemies. And they are now say, praising the Lord, praise God. They are back in the path. And afterwards we read, and that judge died, and that person died, and that deliverer died. They rebelled again, and they went back into, and God sold them into the hands of the Amorites for 7 years. The same thing happens now. Some churches, thank you, Lord, some churches are in bondage to demonic powers, to some principalities of witchcraft operating in and above. Some Leviathan spirit ripping off, tearing down the relationships. Can you see this? Can you see this? The moment we cross from grace, we step out from grace, listen, we step into grief. In sorrow, in pain, in loneliness, in frustration. The moment we step out from grace, we step out from faith to unbelief, from faith to presumption. When we step out from faith to what? Presumption. Now you go, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this. Oh, maybe God wants me to do this. That is presumption. Watch out. Maybe it could be anything. It could be choosing a house. It could be choosing a partner. It could be anything. From faith, you step out to what? Presumption. When you step out of the grace, you step out from your spirit life to the self life. Spirit life to what? To the self life. Yep. Moses was doing nothing over there all the time for 40 years behind the desert. The mountain of God was there, but nothing happened. But one day, he was so frustrated, and he came near and he saw this burning bush. When God sets up a fire and doesn't burn that thing, he wants to attract our attention. When God sets up a fire for you and me, it is not to burn us, it is to get our attention. What are you doing? Come on, draw near to me. So Moses said, hey, let me see this thing. And the word of the Lord came, Moses, Moses, take away your sandals, for this is holy ground. And God was unveiling the mission statement for him. See that? We step out of grace, we step out into mercy. And of course, the enemy there to harass us. And now when we cry out and draw near to God in that agony, God hears us and gets us back to the circle once again. So stepping out of grace is very dangerous. It's painful. It is frustrating. It is emptiness. It is yourself and myself trying to do our own thing. It is leaving the Holy Spirit and putting ourselves first. We are fallen from grace. So grace is the empowering presence of God which enables us to be what God has created us to be and to do what God has called us to do. Stay within that circle. May the Lord bless you. Amen.